You're listening to Chris, the Connecticut Radio Information System. And if you're looking for a new job or career opportunity, stay with us for Positive Futures. Learn from area professionals how to enhance and improve your job search, networking, resume writing, and interview techniques. And discover the extensive programs and services that are available to help you pursue your goals. Your host for Positive Futures is Steve Famigletti, Blind Services Vocational Manager at the NEAT Center in Hartford.
Welcome to Positive Futures. My name is Steve Famigletti. I'm your host for the show, and it is very good to be here today. I have a very special guest with me today. We're going to do something fun for our show, a little bit different than we've done in the past. My guest is Katie Hanley. She is the Senior Director of Oak Hill Centers. Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Steve?
I'm very well. And today on the show, Katie is going to interview me so that all of you listeners can get a better idea of who I am and where I've come from. So I'm actually going to let Katie ask me questions today. Katie, what do you think about that?
I love the idea. Thank you for having me. So without further ado, I'd like to take over.
Okay.
So let's start with your employment goals, Steve. Can you tell us about, as a child in school or as a college student, what were your thoughts on employment? What did you think employment would be like for you?
When I was a child, when I was about 5 years old, my grandfather read me a piece of the National Geographic magazine all about hurricanes, and I made him reread this to me about 500 times, and I loved like hurricanes and weather, and so I was going to be a weatherman. Like, that was my thing. That's how I grew up. I started reading books about storms and hurricanes in school, writing all my school reports about these things. And when I got old enough, I started like really studying weather. We got cable TV when I was like in eighth grade, and there came the Weather Channel, and I was like fixated on the Weather Channel like 24/7. I wanted to be on TV. I wanted to be a meteorologist. And when I first went off to college, that was my first major in college. And I realized over time that that wasn't going to work for me because my background wasn't strong enough in mathematics, physics, and chemistry. And I really had to learn for myself that that wasn't going to work for me, and I had to kind of regroup. Thankfully, at least for me, that happened during college and not later.
And so what was your first job? What was your first employment experience?
Actually, when I was a sophomore in high school, I worked a summer job at our local library, which was done through our state agency for the blind here in Connecticut. It's called Bureau of Education and Services for the Blind. And my teacher, the visually impaired, signed me up for a summer work program. And I'll never forget what she did, because she knew me very well. And she said to me, "How would you like to get a summer job?" And I said, "No." She said, "I knew that you were going to say no, so I signed you up anyway. So you're getting a summer job." And I worked at the Wolcott, and my town is Wolcott, Connecticut. I worked at the Wolcott Public Library, and I was like putting books back on the shelves and checking books out for people. It was a long time ago.
And so your goals, your employment goals, started out as being a meteorologist. For those of our listeners who don't know, Steve is not a meteorologist. So do you want to talk a little bit about the difference between what you hoped for and what your actuality is?
Well, it's interesting, because when I figured out that I couldn't be a meteorologist, I really had no clue what I was going to do. And it was very difficult. I changed my major to communications because I thought that maybe I could not be a meteorologist, but go on the radio or go on TV and do weathercasting that way. But it just didn't end up happening that way. And when I graduated from college, I really didn't have an idea of what I wanted to do. And I contacted my vocational rehabilitation counselor at Services for the Blind, and we had meetings together and came up with some ideas that I knew that I liked working with people. I don't remember specifically what we did, but I did get a couple of jobs that I had. But in having these jobs, I knew that they weren't my career. They were just sort of getting me ready. So like I was an office manager in an insurance company. And what happened with that was the company actually got bought out by one of the big insurance companies in Hartford, and they wanted me to start doing life insurance quotes for people, and math is not my specialty. And I did a couple of practice quotes and they were really wrong. And I went back to my vocational counselor and said, I don't want this job anymore. I need to find a different job. And she turned me on to I worked at a commercial collection agency and I was a telemarketer, and I hated that job. Really hated that job. Didn't like cold calling people. What I would say about those first two jobs is that they really helped me to understand what I liked and what I didn't like. And I went to my supervisor at the collection agency and basically resigned. And he said, well, you can resign, but I'll pay you as long as I can afford to pay you to come into work every day and look for work, because I know that you have a degree. You have a bachelor's degree, and eventually you're going to find an employer who's smart enough to see past your disability.
Wow.
And really, really great guy he was. And he turned me on to the job that kind of got me into working in the field of assistive technology. I worked at a place where we sold products to people with visual impairments, and that's how I got into the field of working with assistive technology.
That's great. I like that it took you a while to kind of figure out what your career would be, and that you were okay with doing something other than meteorology. I think what you're describing is true for most people, whether you have a disability or not, is you grow up with an idea of what you can do, and you have this idea of what employment is. But then as you get older, you kind of realize more of who you are, what you're capable of, what you're interested in, and you try a few things out. And then hopefully you settle on something that makes you happy. I wanted to be a stunt performer. I was dead set on it.
Wow.
And I even went to a few auditions, and it just wasn't a practical thing for me. I'm much happier with my career now working with people like you. But I think it's common for all people, but maybe people with disabilities need that reassurance that it's okay to want to do something and try it, but still be open that something else might be just as good for you.
And it's interesting because even though I'm not a meteorologist, I still follow the weather, and I go on these storm chase tours every year going chasing tornadoes, and which is pretty risky and pretty outrageous. But I've actually found a way to take something that could have been my career and kept it as a hobby, which I'm very happy about.
That's wonderful. Can you tell me what you would consider a failure in your employment to date?
You know,
And it could be something that may not really be, but in your mind, even if it's irrational, you know, you see it as a failure.
You know, I think when I had that first job at the insurance company, my lack of experience was my failure, if you will. You know, I didn't know how to work with people. I didn't know how to work in a professional environment. Like, this was all new to me coming out of college. And I think that maybe that situation would have been different if I knew now what I know then. Like, I didn't have work experience. And I think it's important for people to think about this, that for me, as someone who's legally blind, I didn't have work experience. I think a lot of people who don't have a disability get a job when they're relatively young because they want to drive a car. And for me, someone being legally blind, I couldn't drive a car. It took me a lot longer to do my schoolwork. So my parents were not in favor of me becoming employed. They wanted me to take the time I needed to get my homework done. So when I graduated from college, I had no work history. And I think that was failure because it made it that much harder when I got my first job to understand what it was like to have a job. Like my lack of experience, I would say, is my failure.
Mm. What would you say is a success?
I would say that, you know, these are hard questions, but I think that my success would be having the current job I have. I work at Oak Hill in Connecticut, as you do. And I feel like when I got hired for my current position at Oak Hill, that that was success for me because I had work history behind me. I had a resume and I had a skill set that people looked at. They interviewed me and they hired me based on what I presented in my interview and what was on paper. And I feel like that was my success.
That's great. Was there something specific that led you to that success? Something you think in particular that helped you?
It's interesting because when I heard about the position coming at Oak Hill, there was a woman who used to work at Oak Hill who contacted me and said that they were starting a new program to assist blind people. And they wanted to know if I knew any people who had a visual impairment or blindness that were interested in applying. And when this person asked me that question, I asked a question back, which was, do you have a copy of the job description? And when I read the job description, I applied for the job myself. And that's how I got to Oak Hill. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Yeah, well, what I heard was something that I think is true for all people is building relationships in whatever job you have, even if it's not the ultimate job you want. But building relationships in the job you have now might help lead to that next job that you want.
And I will kind of back up a step and say that the person who contacted me had known me because we had done some collaborations and done some training classes together in, you know, before this person had contacted me about the new program that was starting at Oak Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, she clearly saw you as a resource, whether she wanted you to pass the job along or whether she was, you know,
right,
subtly hinting to you that you should apply. No, that's great. So can you talk about what some of your challenges are or what they have been for you when you join a new team or you get a job with a new company?
It's interesting because I had a pretty good sense when I got hired at this particular job that the person who hired me and added me to the team was enthusiastic about having me on the team and also liked me. I knew that. And I figured, wow, you know, the person who's going to be my supervisor likes me. This is great. This is all going to be like smooth sailing. What I didn't realize is that not everybody on a team is going to get along with everyone else. And not everyone is going to like everyone, you know, as a person. And just because people don't like you doesn't mean that you can't work with them. You kind of have to be able to depersonalize that and still be able to get things done. And I really had to kind of learn people's personalities that I was working with and learn how to come up with in my mind, like, what's the best way to work with this person? What's the best way to work with person A, person B, person C? In my mind, it's important to me that I am able to have a working relationship with people, whether they like me or not. I feel that's important.
Yeah. Do you feel as though when you're joining a team like that, you have to on some level, explain your disability or overcompensate for your disability?
Well, I would say that I think it's really important for people to understand that you have to be able to communicate what you need. And I struggled with that for a while because I didn't know who people were and I didn't know what the reception was going to be. It was one thing to tell the boss I needed something. It was another thing to tell somebody that I didn't know, you know, what my needs were. And so I think that that is really important for people to know, that you have to be able to communicate your needs and you have to be able to do it in a way that's not, you know, pushy or bossy, but is assertive.
Yeah. I think that's good advice for everybody, whether you have a disability or not. So Steve now is obviously very experienced. He's had a few jobs. He has a wonderful career. What would today's Steve say to Steve who was working at that telemarketer position, for instance?
Well, there's one thing that not only do I say to myself, but I say to other people. It's really important to find either a job or a career that you like, because we spend a lot of our time working. If you're working full time, you're working 40 hours a week. That's a lot of time in your life. And when you have a job that you don't like, it can affect every other part of your life. And I've had jobs I didn't like. That when I had the telemarketing job, I didn't want to get up and go to work. I used to come up with little excuses for myself on Monday morning about what could I say to get out of work today. That's really not a good place to be, you know. And I now have a job that I love, and it changed many parts of my life outside of work for the better in terms of how I feel about myself, what I do after work. Now on a Sunday night, I'm not thinking about, gee, what excuse could I use if I call out of work on Monday just to have another day off so I don't have to be there? Now I look forward to going to work. And so I would tell myself, you know, 20 years ago, now I would say, don't keep a job that you don't like. Find something that you're passionate about and something that you believe in, because if you can do that, you can make it really be a fun thing. When I go to work now, I don't even think of it as work. I think of it as, oh, I wonder what I'm going to do today. You know, how much fun is this going to be? I really do think that.
Hmm. What resources or information would you recommend for somebody who's seeking employment, who's still trying to figure out what they're passionate about?
I would say that it's really important, particularly people that have a disability. You know, in Connecticut, we have agencies that can help you. We have the Bureau of Rehab Services, and we have Bureau of Education Services for the Blind. And in different states, they have agencies similar to our agencies. And, you know, in my case, I had a vocational rehabilitation counselor from Bureau of Education Services for the Blind from BESB, and she was with me through college and beyond. And I made it a point to keep in touch with her during my college years. I would call her, I would tell her what I was doing, how things were going in school. I communicated with her every semester. She knew what my grades were. She knew what classes I was taking. In my mind, it's really important, if you're going to be involved with someone who works at an agency that's going to be helping you, and it's, say it's through vocational rehabilitation, these counselors have a large caseload of individuals that they're serving. And I feel it's very important to set yourself apart from everyone else. If that means that you have to meet with that person on a fairly frequent basis, if it means you have to pick the phone up and contact them or send them email, I feel that that's very important. That way, when you graduate from college and you're ready to look for employment, that person has more of a picture of you than just what's written on paper. The more they know about you, the more they can help you. So even if you have conversations with them that go beyond your employment, maybe like what your interests are outside of employment, that can help that person because it can give them a broader picture of you as the individual.
Something that you mentioned that I'm realizing I need to ask a pointed question about for some of our listeners is you went to college, you have a bachelor's degree. Is there anything that you can say to the listeners about the value of that to you? And please mention, you know, what kind of encouragement and support you got when you were making that choice about going to college. Because I think there's a lot of young people with disabilities where it's seen as just not an option, and maybe it should be.
I felt that because I had a disability, I had no choice. Like, no one told me this. It was just something that I felt. I said, you know, I don't think just getting my high school diploma is going to help me. I think I need more. I don't know where that came from. I don't believe anybody told me that, but I felt like it was the thing that I should do because it was going to be helpful for me later on. And so I made that choice. And I think it's important for people to, if that's the right choice for you, I think you should make that choice because ultimately it's almost like when we talk about, you know, recommending assistive technology to people, it's never a one size fits all. So like one piece of technology doesn't serve all of your needs. You need multiple pieces. And I think that if a person has the ability to attend a two-year college, a four-year college, if they want to get a master's degree, like whatever they feel that they can do, I feel it's really important to do it because there's so many things that I learned in college that went beyond the classroom. You know, I was a resident assistant in my dorm, so I had 30 residents that I was sort of responsible for. And there were so many things that I learned as being an RA that translated out to my career. You know, being an RA, I worked on a team of other RAs. Everybody had different personalities. And now working at my job at Oak Hill, I work on a team. Everybody has a different personality. And that's not new to me because I did it when I was like 20 something years old before I ever worked a job. That was something that happened to me and it was very helpful. So I feel like if you have the chance to go to college, if that's what's right for you, I feel like there's so many other experiences beyond the educational piece that go all through your life.
And because you're mentioning there's some things that you learned in college that go through your life, you know, are there the way that's described is the soft skills. Are there things that you learned in college that would be considered a soft skill that really has carried over and helped you in employment, like those interpersonal things or how to communicate your needs or?
You know, all of that stuff was happening when I was an RA. It was like, you know, I had a supervisor and I used to have to go to the supervisor and have weekly meetings and talk about what was going on with the residents. What did I need, you know, for me? And then we would have like a weekly staff meeting where everyone was there and we went around the room and everybody talked about what was going on. And so there were so many different things that I learned about listening to people, understanding people, being polite, respecting people if they're, you know, if, I mean, I have a disability, but everyone is different, you know, learning to respect people, learning to be polite, learning how to ask for things, learning how to be a good listener, learning how to support someone. One of the things we used to have to do is every day there were two RAs on duty in the building and we had to work together to deal with people in difficult situations, you know, and all of those things have carried into all of the jobs I've had.
One more question for you I have is what other, if you weren't doing the job you had now, what job would you like?
I actually think that it would be a heck of a lot of fun to be a dance teacher.
Ooh, really? What kind of dance?
Like I've done some ballroom dancing, taken lessons, and...
He's not lying, folks. I have witnessed
it. So like one of the things I noticed about taking dance lessons is that it seems like the students have a really good time and it seems like the instructors have a really good time. And it just seems like it's another one of those jobs. It's a lot of fun. And so I think that it might be fun to be teaching people to dance. And I think it would be interesting as someone with a visual impairment to come up with a way that I could actually do that. I don't know what the way would be, but I think it would be interesting.
I bet you could.
I probably could.
Well, thank you for sharing your story and for answering some of my questions. I only have the perspective of working with people with disabilities. I don't identify as somebody who has a disability, so I really only have one side of it. So hearing your answers to all those questions is great, and I hope that everybody listening sees it as encouraging, because you've really accomplished quite a lot and you have a great career and you're making a major difference in people's lives.
Well, I appreciate that.
So what I want to add to all of this is to tell our listeners how my perspective as a supervisor. I have worked with Steve as a colleague when I started working with him, and then I moved into a supervisory role where he reported to me, and then I moved into a position where there's a supervisor in between us now, but I still work very closely with him. And I just want to say that having people with disabilities on our team has made our team better. And previous to my job now, I didn't ever work with people with disabilities as my peers and coworkers. I only worked with them as recipients of the services that we were doing. And that makes a huge difference to me. That kind of mind shift is critical to our mission, that what we're doing is that there's a genuine understanding of the needs of the people that we're serving. But even if it wasn't a disability-focused service, I really see the value in having with people with disabilities on a team. It, you know, all these companies are talking about inclusion and diversity. To include people with disabilities is essential in that. And there's many people on our team with disabilities. Steve is not the only one, and many people with different types of disabilities. And it actually is quite fun figuring out a way to do something that works for everyone. And it just makes us all work better. The prime example, and Steve, I don't know if you could share from your perspective, is we used to have a paper calendar. And when I saw the paper calendar, I said, you know, this really should be electronic. And once we were able to get around to it being electronic, one of my arguments was, well, it has to be electronic because Steve needs to be able to read it. But really, I was just frustrated because I didn't want to have to write it down on paper. So I wasn't totally using you as an excuse, but it was just better for all of us. And that's just a kind of a simple example. There's definitely deeper examples, but I think that when you're taking into consideration people's access needs, you can do better work. It can be more efficient. You can find a more creative way to do it. It's like it sparks creativity in a way that's wonderful for a team. I don't know what you think about that.
I agree completely. And to anybody out there that's an employer that's listening, I would encourage people to, when you're looking at a pool of applicants and, you know, there are some that have disabilities and some that don't, I would encourage you to look at your team as a whole. And when you're looking at an individual that you're considering for employment, if that person has a disability and your first thought is, I don't know how I would ever incorporate this person into my team, I would say that if you're open-minded and you're willing to take a risk, that a lot of times it's a risk worth taking, because ultimately that person can be an asset to your team and not a hindrance.
Right. Absolutely. You're a major asset to the team, just like all of the team members are in their different ways. We recently had a retreat where we had a guest speaker come in, and one of our own, who's an expert in learning disabilities, came and she did a presentation on different learning styles. And then the guest speaker did a presentation on different personality types. And what we learned from that is all of us, whether we have a disability or not, all need different ways to access information, to express ourselves. And once we knew that about each other, we were able to really see, oh, it would be great if we paired up because you're seeing this side of it and I see it this way. And so it's really just about embracing the strengths of everybody. And people with disabilities can absolutely be included in that. Once you shift your mind, it's a lot easier than it might seem at first.
This has been an absolutely fascinating conversation, Katie. I'm so glad that you came on the show today, and I'd like to thank you for being here and hope that we can have you back on the program again soon.
I'd love to. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Positive Futures is produced at the Chris Radio Studios in Windsor in cooperation with the Connecticut Department of Rehabilitation Services, Board of Education and Services for the Blind.